Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and today I am joined by my co-host...
Kayla. Sorry, I was trying to say it before the chair moved. Kayla.
That's fine. This is our between summer and fall podcast, I think.
Yeah.
You could call it. Summer's over in the podcast world for us. It definitely will be for me by the time this comes out. And so we're decided, you know, what better way to say goodbye to summer than to look back on the times we had specifically watching movies and some TV shows.
Yeah.
We're not going through stuff we did specifically for the podcast, I think. We're just going to, I think, mostly touch on, you know, some of the stuff we watched just for personal enjoyment, because we already talked about, like, watching Star Wars enough for my life. I don't think I need to talk about Star Wars anymore for my whole life. I think I fulfilled all of the time that is needed for that, so.
Until there's a new Star Wars movie that we have to review.
Yeah, well, at least that will be new, you know. I'm good with.
We don't need to rehash it ever again.
No, I think we made the definitive episodes. Go listen to all five. But yeah, so let's just jump in now to some of the movies we watched. Now, I put a couple of categories in here just to kind of help us out. So rewatches, new favorites, 2021 movies, and then also Hallmark, because I know that you have some Hallmark movies to share.
Quite a few, yeah.
We could do like a Hallmark segment if you want.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, how do we want to do this? Do we want to go back and forth giving a couple of the ones that we wanted to talk about for sure?
Sure.
All right. Well, I'll just jump in quick because I watched a lot of 2021 movies, more than I thought I did, I think, before I went through and counted all of them and like wrote them all out. Basically, this was not a great summer movie season, and by that I mean it was pretty terrible. I don't know, there just wasn't like a movie that came out that was like the movie of the summer, you know?
Not Peter Rabbit 2?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think like Black Widow would be the one, but even then that didn't do super well. And I think Film Twitter was trying really hard to make The Green Knight the movie of the summer. I don't know how well that succeeded, but there wasn't like a definitive movie of the summer, one that came out this year, I guess.
Not Luca.
I think Luca would probably be the closest for you, definitely.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, for a lot of people, I think Inside isn't really a movie, but that definitely was like a huge thing at the beginning of this summer with TikTok. And I mean, I don't know. That's always hard to know how much translates from Twitter and TikTok into real life.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in like the circles I was in, there was a lot of people talking about Inside and like discourse about it. And then also just the Jeffrey Bezos songs, you know. So that was like, I think for me, that was a big movie this summer. I mean, it's my favorite movie so far of the year. But just even culturally, like in my circles, it was, I think, really big. So I guess that would maybe be the one. But other than that, like there wasn't really much I loved. I really did like Woodstock 99, the documentary on HBO Max. But again, that is a bit more niche. So I don't know like if that would be everyone's cup of tea. But I definitely liked that one a lot.
I watched Peter Rabbit 2 this summer.
The Runaway, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something with Runaway.
And it wasn't too bad, you know? I liked it better than I liked Zola. And I also liked it better than I liked Barb and Star, which I know wasn't really a summer movie, but that was when I watched during the summer. So that was a fun time. My dad and I saw that one.
Your dad watched that one with you? I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Yeah, yeah. We went to the theater and saw it.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was funny. They actually had, which I should have just gotten and taken a picture, but they had these, like, you know how AMC does sort of promotional things, items that they give out occasionally? They had these headwear pieces that were like rabbit ears, you know, like the McDonald's or Burger King crowns. It was like that.
Oh, yeah.
But like with rabbit ears, and you just kind of like put it together and put it on your head.
Wow.
So they were giving those out, but we didn't get any.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. I did watch another kid's movie, Space Jam: A New Legacy, which truly made me question my existence. in the worst ways possible.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really know what to say. It's depressing how capitalistic our society has become, and Space Jam: A New Legacy is just the pinnacle. Also, Free Guy, when he pulls out a lightsaber at the end, is a similar vibe to the Space Jam: New Legacy experience. I did like Free Guy actually up until that point, because if you listen to the Suicide Squad episode, I ranted about the trailers for Free Guy because I think they're terrible. And just like everything that's wrong with movies is in those trailers. And then when I watched the movie, it's actually like their marketing campaign was terrible because it was nothing like the trailers. Like the tone wasn't like the trailers. The comedy was a very different style than the trailers made it seem. But the only part that like was that very self-referential, like makes me want to like blow my brains out, is when he was like pulled out the Captain America shield and the Hulk fist and the lightsaber, and I'm like, why? I just need to know who said we needed this. But nevertheless, you know, there were some good movies, like Pig was really good. I think that was like the conversation didn't get too outside of film Twitter, which was disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, my theater didn't get it at all, so
yeah, now that's available to rent, I'm hoping more people can see it, because it's very good, and it's definitely not like a Green Knight, like hard to get into, because I think Green Knight is very inaccessible. And I don't hate Green Knight. I think it's fine. But Pig is like a very good version of an art house movie, because like I think like I recommended it to my mom because I think she could watch it, and it doesn't feel very gatekeepy, I guess is a great way to say it. It just is a nice movie with Nicolas Cage and his pig.
You're getting into some dicey territory there with those criticisms about The Green Knight.
I'm sorry. I mean, The Green Knight isn't bad. Maybe because it's been so long. Like, it was just so overhyped. Same with Zola. I think they were both overhyped a lot.
Yeah.
Since they were supposed to come out last year, and we had already kind of known a lot about them, that might have been to their detriment.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other 2021 movies you wanted to touch on?
No.
Coda was good. I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet. I've been too
fantastic.
Too busy binge watching TV shows to watch.
Well,
we'll
get to that
right now.
We'll get to that. Before we get to TV shows, were there any like movies you watched that are some of your new favorites? You know, I think that's always a fun category to like watch a movie for the first time and you're like, I know this is going to be one of my new go-tos.
A couple, you know, I watch a lot of rewatches and then a lot of stuff for the podcast, obviously. One that I watched that kind of surprised me, it was just like a random, I saw it on the HBO leaving this month. Like I always try to go through and see if there's anything there I'd want to watch. It's called The Escape Artist. It came out in 1982, directed by Caleb Deschanel, who hasn't made anything, so...
Oh, bam.
It was about a kid whose dad was, like, a famous escape artist and then died, and so he's living with his uncle and aunt and kind of gets into this sort of scheme of things with a bad guy in town, and it's funny. I thought it was really creative. I gave it 4 stars, but I was like, wow, I can't believe people haven't seen this movie before. I feel like most people would give it probably like 3 stars, but I had never even like heard of it before, so I was glad to kind of stumble across that one and enjoy something that like I had never even really heard about or knew anything about.
That's always fun. I definitely love looking through the Leaving Now section because you can usually find ones that you're like, oh my word, I've been saying I want to watch this for so long and I just thought it would be on here forever and it's not on here forever, and so now I need to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't understand when like Warner Brothers takes stuff off of HBO Max that they own.
Yeah,
like some old
yeah.
like 19th movie that came out in the 50s. Like, why?
I mean,
what is
Disney
the demand
that
you're
too.
Creating? What demand are you creating by taking this away?
Yeah, that was how I stumbled across Goodbye Lenin too.
Oh yeah,
which was I'll talk about more probably in secret episode. Yes,
upcoming. Not a Goodbye Lenin podcast, but it will be in the podcast.
No, but that, it was funny because I just was kind of scrolling through Leaving This Month on Criterion, and it was right after I finished Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Daniel Brühl was in it, and I was like, oh, I like Daniel Brühl. He looks younger in here. Cool. And so I kind of threw it on, and then I ended up loving it, which is funny because I feel like that is just how I find movies that I like, ends up being not the like popular ones. It's just kind of random ones that I click on or random ones I happen across, and then those end up being the ones that I like more.
Yeah, I watched that one too after you watched it, and I did like it. It's definitely like, I would recommend people check it out because I think it's pretty watchable. Even though there are like deeper themes, I think that like it's a very watchable movie and it's fun. I don't know. It was just like definitely a hidden gem kind of movie because like, I mean, I had never heard of it before you had told me about it. So.
Well, I had never heard of it before until, until I saw it on the Criterion channel.
Maybe,
so.
Maybe it is a good idea to take stuff off because you always are looking through those Leaving Nows, you know? And
yeah, I never would have seen it otherwise.
Yeah. One I watched that I really liked was Memories of Murder. This was like on May 1st. So this is the first day I was off of school. And I was watching a lot of stuff in March and April for both the podcast and catching up on Oscar movies. And if you just take those out, the last movie I had watched like just for fun since before May 1st was in March 11th. So I hadn't watched like anything that I just because I wanted to watch it since March 11th. So I was like, I need to come back today with a bang. And this was the first movie I watched of the summer. And it was great. Like, I don't know. I was definitely expecting it to be really good. But it was like, I don't love police dramas a lot or crime thrillers. But it was just, it was really good. And I would definitely recommend anyone who likes Zodiac to watch it because it's very much like Zodiac. I think it's better than Zodiac, but I think Zodiac is also great, so don't come at me. And then I bought the Criterion like a couple months later because, you know,
very cool.
It was just, I think it still is on Hulu. So if you want to watch it, anyone listening, go watch it because they have a lot of his movies anyway.
I think Goodbye Lenin needs a Criterion.
That definitely could get a Criterion.
Like, it's the kind that I feel like they would give a Criterion to. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And I could think of so many cool posters or like covers for that one.
Yeah, because I almost bought the Blu-ray online and the cover sucks. So
yeah, that's always the worst.
I would love to see a new cover made for that.
Well, that's funny because I also watched this summer The Apartment for the first time. And I bought that on Blu-ray. But there was a really terrible cover one. And I thought that was the only one they had. And I wasn't going to buy it for that reason, because the cover was just so bad. But then I found that Arrow did a Blu-ray release of it, and so I bought that one, because that was actually a good cover. But the other one was trash. I don't know why some movies just, they just pick the worst posters that they have and just throw them on the cover.
Yeah. I also rewatched a lot of stuff, you know, like comfort movies. I rewatched all the High School Musical movies with a friend. I watched Mamma Mia, The Sandlot, Knives Out, like, just did a lot of
all the classics,
rewatches.
You know? Did you rewatch any that, like, the first time you maybe didn't like as much, but then the second time, or just, like, ones, not, so basically just not, like, comfort movie ones. Like, did you rewatch any that you were trying to get a second opinion on?
No.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know if I did either. I was just wondering.
I did watch one thing that I thought was cute was there's a little short film of behind the scenes of Luca.
Bringing it back to Luca.
Where some of the animators go to Italy, and I thought that was really cute. I just wanted to shout that out because it was like this cute little short film
Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
That's so fun. I love that Disney Plus is doing that, like, not to praise Disney, you know, but I like that they are doing like more behind the scenes stuff than just like putting out the movies.
And it felt very personal. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, it was professional, but it felt like homemade,
right?
And
a good,
like,
kind
they
of
were just there filming each other, and right. It was cute.
Yeah, that's so fun.
But yeah, I mostly this summer, like, I didn't watch too much, like, brain power movies, you know? Like, movies that were too serious or, like, film movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that, like, it was movies that aren't sophisticated or, like, there were really only a couple that I feel like are kind of more film type movies or movies that would be more talked about in film circles. It was kind of just like, I'm gonna watch silly things and funny things and dumb things and just enjoy, you know, what I'm watching. Instead of trying to watch, like, to make myself feel better by being like, oh, I spent my summer watching all these film movies that I had to catch up on and all that. Like, I just kind of was watching willy-nilly things that, you know, were kind of more comfort movies or things that I just felt like sitting and binging, you know?
Yeah, can't relate to that, but that's just my fault. I mean, I don't think I watched a ton of stuff because I didn't want to watch them. Like, that's something that I've been trying to get better at. There's just sometimes I just, it's just like I'll get in a mode of a certain year a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
or a certain genre, and I'll just kind of go through all the movies in that kind of genre or mode. Mm. I definitely got in a bit of a, like, I'll always get into French New Wave moods every now and then. And so I watched a couple of, like, Jacques Demy's early work, because I'd seen some of the later stuff. And so I watched, yeah, like, one of his early shorts, which I really liked. I loved Bay of Angels, which was a casino movie, and definitely just increased desires to just, you know, just made you want to throw those dice and hope you get the number. They were fun. And I think that's what I usually end up doing, is I'll watch something and then I'll watch a similar thing that kind of either fits the same time period or director or genre. One I did want to make sure I touched on before we went into more of the TV shows is Joyce at 34. Because I did watch Girlfriends, which was that director worked on this one with this director. They kind of are, they collaborated on, I think, some things early on. I wish they had collaborated on more stuff because they definitely have a good style together. But that's kind of where I found this short. It's a short. It's about 30 minutes long. Was through watching Girlfriends and kind of seeing this in the supplements. And this is just a really great short. I think, I don't know exactly when it's from. I'll look up just the year quick. Okay, 1972 is when it came out. And it is more just like almost a home movie kind of thing where you just have, I think it's about a year of her baby's life, the first year it goes through. And you just see different stages of her, Joyce, and her husband kind of just getting accustomed to having this baby in their life, both as creative people and trying to make it in their respective industries. I think he's a writer and she's a director. And it was just, I think, a really good just view into someone's life, which then obviously can show you something about yourself, because through watching other people's stories, you get to learn about yourself more, which is how movies work. But
yeah,
it was very raw because it was just like a home video kind of thing. So I really did like that short. I would definitely recommend it. It was very good and very well directed, which was, I think, what set it apart from other similar like home video shorts, was that it was very well put together and had a very clear purpose in its editing.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Cool. So I watched a ton of Hallmark movies or Hallmark-esque movies. Like, only a couple of them were actually Hallmark brand movies. And then there's also Lifetime movies, which is like pretty on par with Hallmark movies, I would say. Like, a lot of theirs are more kind of progressive and stuff.
Right.
And then there's Up Channel movies, which are really dumb and even worse than both Hallmark and Lifetime movies. So I watched a lot of those this summer as well.
Yeah.
I watched a ton during, like, they did a Christmas weekend.
July. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they were playing a bunch of Christmas movies. So I watched those, like, four or five that weekend. I don't know. I just kept them going. A couple of the Hallmark movies and mysteries, My favorite, I've said before, is the crossword mysteries. So there was a new one, I think, that came out in like May that I watched. That was really exciting. That one, that series is like, there's been like four or five of them now. And all the mystery ones, basically, it's like there's a cop character. And then the female character is not the cop, but there is some, like, one where the female is actually the detective. But it's like a woman who is usually like meddling in the cop business.
A classic trope.
Like, they go to solve the mystery on their own, which is so funny to me. And they always end up in a relationship with that person.
Of course.
But because it's a series, it's not like in Hallmark where they meet for one weekend while they're like in town over the Christmas, you know, gingerbread festival or whatever. But that series specifically has like the slowest burn romance ever.
Of course.
Like, it's already like five episodes in and they have the best chemistry out of any of them, any of the mystery ones. But it just like, it was just funny because the last one, they're finally like, oh, I don't know, like, maybe I like you. And it's like, oh my God, it's been five movies already. Like, you guys clearly like each other. Like,
any others, like ones that you found that you would want to recommend?
I mean, they're all bad.
Oh, okay. Well,
let me look really quick.
Rave reviews.
I mean, like, most of them are, like, one star, if they're lucky, half a star. Some will get two stars if they're good. I gave two stars to A Sugar and Spice Holiday, which was a Lifetime movie. And that one, she was, like, Chinese-American, which was great.
Definitely more progressive than Hallmark already. Wow.
And they even included, like, a microaggression in it. Where she was traveling home for, like, she's Chinese-American, and the one of the other employees, who's, like, this dumb white guy, who is also up for the promotion, of course, she goes, oh, yeah, I'm going home for Christmas, and he's like, oh, where's home? Like, China? Or whatever, like, said it, and she was like, Maine? Like, and so I thought that was funny, because... that kind of stuff isn't really, like, it was just kind of like a passing joke, but I thought that that was cool, that that was something that could be included in, well, because it's a Lifetime movie.
Well, I think that's something that seems like it would be specific to their experience, too. So I think, I would hope that means that they are having people that are writing it that have that same experience, you know?
And she got the promotion, right?
Of course, yes.
And they were like, we actually want you to move to Australia.
Uh-huh.
And so she told the guy this and was like, we could do long distance. Because normally the woman denies the promotion and then stays in the small town. And he ran like a toy shop in the small town. And then he was like, I'm not going to do long distance. And she was like, oh, like they were going to have to break up, you know, like, oh, I'm so sad. Woe's me. And he was like, no, I'm going to give up my job and go to Australia with
Who
you.
Needs to sell
I was
toys?
Like, yes, you go. Like the guy moving for the girl to like take her dream job. Yes, that one I would probably recommend, like, if you want
sugar and,
to watch
sugar
like, the Christmas
and spice
one.
Christmas?
Yeah, I think that was what, or Sugar and Spice Holiday. It was one of those
Sugar
two.
And Spice and Everything Nice. Yeah, that's, I mean, I obviously didn't watch any Hallmark movies this summer, so I can't add on to the conversation, but that one sounds good.
Yeah, it was actually a fun one. They had, like, a baking competition.
Nice.
And it was also crazy because, like, I'm spoiling the whole movie.
Yeah, don't, maybe,
but they, like,
spoiler alert for Sugar and Spice
weren't
Christmas.
Weren't even, like, at first, like, they got they lost from the baking competition, and you're like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Man.
Like, it just was, like, lots of twists in there.
Twists, turns, just... get blindsided. For me, like, it was tough because there was a lot of stuff that we had to watch for the podcast. Some I watched for the podcast and we didn't end up doing them, like the Saw movies, because we were gonna do an episode on the Saw series, and I got three movies in And I was like, you're not going to want to watch these. We're not doing an episode on these because I just know that you wouldn't like them. So yeah. I watched the first three. And I got to say, I know that people say like the third one is the last quote unquote good one or okay one. But so far, like those first three, they're good. You know, the first one is obviously the best. I would say the second one, I think the third one might have higher highs than the second one. But the third one is very convoluted, the twist. So the second one might have been a little better. So they might have gotten, they probably got worse as they went so far. But overall, you know, they're just fun. Definitely don't watch them if you don't like blood or can't handle people like drilling into people's skulls, because that does happen in the third one.
Yeah. So yeah, that's why I opted out.
I was
on
watching
those.
The third one at work, and I was like, I better like turn my computer just a little bit to the side here, because you know there's a window behind me, so I don't want anyone passing out as they come into work, because that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I just kind of did my thing this summer. I watched Barry Lyndon because I was house sitting. It was a very rainy day. So I thought that was a good day to watch it. And it was it's like 3 hours long and I had nothing to do. So I made some tea and I watched that. It was like the best scenario to be able to watch that movie in. And it was okay. You know, it was fine. It was one of those movies where, you know, like it's very good, but that's basically the best I could say, because there's just a lot going on and I can see why it could be called a masterpiece. But I also can see why, like, it's just not totally for me, you know? It's fine. I don't really love costume dramas as it is. So the fact that I was able to watch it is probably just a sign that it's good, you know? Because I was able to sit through 3 hours of this movie and basically not be bored. I mean, there was boring parts. The first half was a lot of war stuff, and I am not a fan of war movies. I also get bored during those, so definitely would recommend the second half. But other than that, you know, just kind of tried to chill. Watch the Lego Ninjago movie in theaters because they were showing it. That was the worst movie of my life. That was actually worse than Space Jam.
Wow.
So I had a headache after watching that movie. I took Advil and I still had it. Like, that movie gave me a headache. So that's my review. So you said you watched a lot of TV shows, though. So do you want to kind of get into some of the shows that you were watching?
I did. I watched a lot of TV shows. I watched, of course, Loki, which we talked about
in
an episode. I binge-watched through all of One Day at a Time, which originally was a Netflix show. And then I watched, which I really actually liked, season one of Netflix's Sweet Tooth. It's based on a comic strip, and I think Robert Downey Jr. produced it.
Huh.
Him and his wife's production company, because I saw them posting stuff about it. But it was renewed for a season two, which it ended with a cliffhanger. So I was like, they're obviously expecting it to be renewed. But I thought that was really good. It was kind of interesting because it's like a post-apocalyptic, and it was post-apocalyptic because of like a pandemic. Mm. So
but
that
a different
was kind
pandemic,
of interesting.
Like not COVID.
Not coronavirus,
right.
But like a pandemic that affected the whole entire world.
Huh.
But it was like lab generated, I guess. We haven't totally figured out yet. I'm sure we'll find out in season two. But it also like when babies were born, they were born hybrids. So they were born part animal and part human. And so that like basically caused the end of the world.
Hmm.
And so it's about this kid who is part deer, basically. And his dad, like, had rescued him at the beginning of this all. Mm-hmm. And now he's, like, older. And he's gonna basically save the world,
Bambi.
I guess.
Bambi time. That's fun, though. How do they make them look like part animal? Is it CGI or is there makeup?
Yeah, I think it's CGI.
Okay.
But I think they do some, like, practical as well.
Does it look good or does it look, like, silly?
It's actually pretty decent. Some of them are better than others. It kind of depends. The main kid looks good.
Right. I think deer was a good choice because, like, you don't have to
do
too much for a deer.
Yeah, he just has the antlers, basically, and then some ears that kind of twitch that are cute. And then there's some other ones that are, it just depends on what they're a hybrid of, basically.
Right, yeah. Like, if it's a snake, that might be a little tough.
I don't think I saw a snake one, but
that's why they didn't make a snake one, because how are they going to do it?
Yeah. Okay. And then I watched High School Musical.
I forgot to watch this.
Which we don't even need to talk about because it was really, really bad.
It was like, how does something get so bad after the first season was so good? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
We went to bat for the series and I felt a little bit cheated.
The Christmas special. That's very true.
Well, the Christmas special, we have a whole episode, like bonus 19-minute episode on the Christmas special. So if you want to listen to that, I think that one's pretty funny because we hated that as well.
Yeah, don't watch season two. Definitely still advocate to watch season one.
Yes, season one, I am a stan. I will support.
But then you can kind of stop there.
I think it's just very obvious that you need to be a very good actor to be able to act with someone who presumably is your ex. And I don't think that they are good enough actors to recreate the chemistry that they just don't have anymore. And so that, I think, was an issue. But there was just other, like, script issues and...
There was only one good character in the season. Actually, two. And that's EJ.
And
the other teacher.
Oh.
The robotics guy.
Yeah, the robot teacher. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
I liked the kid in the airport. He was only in one episode,
Asher,
but he was cool.
Angel's character.
Yeah, he definitely should have just been in it more.
Well, and they had good chemistry because they were in Andy Mac together.
Ah.
So those two actors, Sophia
and Asher,
were.
Which made it really weird that they didn't put them together then. Because, like, they gave us a better relationship than the one that we ended up getting.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Really bad.
And I still, like, after that, I was like, wait, why did we have that whole scene of her in the airport talking to this other kid then?
It wasn't even, like, fun to watch as a joke. It was just painful.
Yeah, it was bad. Will I watch season three? Probably.
Yes,
but...
yes. Definitely. But, you know, who knows what will happen with that. Like, if they're even going to get renewed. But I watched not a ton. I mean, I watched the Friends reunion, so I did that. Did anybody... I feel like that's, like... I forgot that was even a thing when I was, like, looking through what I watched. I forgot that that even came out. It was so...
Yeah.
Forgettable. One of the worst.
I didn't watch
another,
it.
Another... Like, if I was going to put a triple feature together for existential crises, I would probably go... I would start with Space Jam, A New Legacy, go into Free Guy, and end with Friends Reunion. That would be like the triple feature of questioning my life choices. But I, other than that, you know, I finished Succession because season three is coming out, and I wanted to make sure I was set for that. I love Succession. That's not a big hot take. I also started Twin Peaks The Return because I finished the first two seasons, and I watched the movie. And I gotta say, folks, Twin Peaks is just not totally for me. With David Lynch, I don't dislike really many of his movies, but I also don't like them. I feel like I'm just more intrigued by a lot of his work because it's so different, but I never end up really loving anything he's done. I think the thing I like most is actually the Twin Peaks movie Fire Walk With Me, because that has like a lot darker of a tone than the original show. And then this, The Return, which... obviously has critical acclaim, so I'm not really the person that you should be listening to this about. But thus far, I'm about halfway through the show, and it just isn't doing it for me, you know? I know that some people may like to watch one guy just sitting in the same place for 3 minutes, like, drinking a coffee, doing nothing, and they might be able to find some significance in that scene. But it's just, I can't find the significance. It's just very slow. And I'm not smart enough to be able to infer meaning from a scene that basically feels like there's nothing going on. That's basically my take. I will finish it because, like, I watched the first two seasons and I've gotten this far. I'm not going back. I have heard it gets better as you go. But like I said, I'm already like halfway in. So I don't know. I feel like it's just not for me. Is where I'm at with that one. But other than that, you know, just mostly sitcoms, like just at work if I'm bored, which is usually the go-to. 20-minute episode shows, you know, are always my favorite.
Then you should watch Rutherford Falls, which I
also
watched.
Wow, what a transition.
The first season of, and that is a Peacock show. And I thought that one was really good too. I thought the first half of the season was funnier than kind of the last couple episodes, but I'll be excited to see what they like do with season two of it and stuff.
I totally forgot Peacock was a thing. Like, I forget constantly about Peacock until I see it in like my letterbox that it's on something. It's just not in my memory.
It's funny because I use your Peacock account.
Yeah, you do. I see it sometimes. I'm like, I didn't watch this. Oh, right. Oh, Corey. Okay.
Yeah. But that was good. And then the other show, well, I watched a couple, like I watched season four of Atypical. I watched season two of Never Have I Ever. I watched season one of Monsters at Work.
Oh, right. I forgot about that too.
Which is fun. I think that they did a good job having Mike and Sully in it, but not making it about them. I think that was one of the best decisions they could have made, bringing in new characters to the universe, which I think gives me a little bit of hope for other future Disney projects, because it's kind of like, I like to see universes expanded a little more rather than rehashing the same things over and over. So I would recommend that if you like Monsters, Inc. And the characters and the kind of world building there. But I really have liked, well, it's done now, but I really liked The Mysterious Benedict Society.
Oh, right. I remember.
Which is a Disney Plus show.
Yep.
It's a kids show, but like I watched it with my dad and we both really liked it. I really liked the book. And I thought there were a few things that were different from the book, but I thought that it's one of the better book to show adaptations that I have personally seen, with good kid actors. And it's just a very fun and pure little show. If you like the Series of Unfortunate Events show, it feels very similar, like production wise, like the way it looks, the way it's shot, the way it's costumed, because it's very like kind of, I don't know.
I feel like those books were also very similar, like marketing to similar demographics as well. Like just in the style of the book.
And Tony Hale is in it, so.
We haven't talked about Tony Hale in a while.
He plays two characters in it. So he plays the good twin brother and the bad twin brother.
Oh, the classic twin situation.
So,
all right.
Yeah, so it's, you get double the Tony Hale in it. So it's awesome.
What's better than that?
Yeah, nothing. He is so, like, sorry, I could talk about Tony Hale for ages because he just, like, is so nice. And I love that, like, he, like, on Instagram, like, is hyping up the show and, like, hypes up the kid actors and stuff, too, because I feel like that shows that he's, like, a really good dude, because a lot of times you see adults work with kid actors and like they don't follow them on social media or like really care about the kids. Not that they have to,
right?
But like it's cool to see a person who like genuinely cares about the next generation of like up and coming, I don't know, people who are in Hollywood basically. He's just a good dude. I love him.
Yeah, he is. He's very funny too. So great. Glad that he's having a good time on that show. Well, looking ahead, you know, we're leaving summer behind in the summer movie season that was 2021. The last 2021 movie I've seen this summer was Annette, and that really just sums up my entire feelings on the 2021 summer movie season. A mixed bag. But looking ahead, there's a couple things coming up that I'm excited for. We obviously apparently have three Marvel movies coming, which is something to consider. That is happening, that we have three Marvel movies coming in a four-month period.
And shows.
Right. Well, what is it? Hawkeye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Is that the only one?
I don't know. Yeah, Hawkeye.
So that's four big Marvel properties in the next 4 months. I mean, I'm not going to say it's too much, but it's too much, you know? I think we need to settle down. I'm looking forward to Dune. I finally finished the book after starting it last year because I stopped it. But then I picked it up again and I finished it. And so looking forward to that one. Last Night in Soho. French Dispatch. I feel like I've been patient since the first trailer dropped in January 2020. And I just need it to come out. Anything you're looking forward to? Maybe something smaller? Because I touched on a couple of the bigger things, but I'm sure I forgot something.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm excited to see that one. Yeah, obviously the bigger ones that you said as well, Bergman Island is coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we'll be able to watch that, like, when it comes out, but yeah. Hopefully before the end of the year, yeah, I don't know.
Let's hope.
One that I am looking forward to is Encanto. I'm not exact. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's the new Disney animation that's coming out in November. Yes. That's fun. I think it's like more fantasy magic and stuff. They did like a teaser trailer and it looked just like really cute and exciting. So I hope that that is good. I'm
excited for the Lin-Manuel Miranda music because I know you're a big fan.
Big fan. Big fan. And then assuming Nightmare Alley comes out in December still.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that one. And then Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Didn't that get pushed?
Well, indefinitely. We don't know. Oh, it could still come out.
Maybe he'll poke his head out.
It could still happen.
Well, we'll have episodes for those bigger movies for sure. I'm really looking forward to House of Gucci, which will also be in November. Mm. And right around probably. That time will also be the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus, which is going to be like 5 hours long. It was going to be a movie, I thought, but then they were like, actually, this is a show. Mm. So, or like a miniseries. So, but that will be exciting.
Oh, and then Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yes. Which we will hopefully be doing an episode on that.
Yeah, we don't have a release date for it yet, but it'll be during Halloween sometime. So
yeah, I mean, what are they going to release it during Christmas?
Yeah, like, so it'll be either end of September or early October, I'm guessing.
Very exciting.
So
is that going to be like a full movie?
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be like a special, so I'm guessing it'll be in the 40-minute range. Gotcha. Is kind of what I'm expecting.
Very fun. Very fun. We love the Muppets, you know? I mean, we gave them ideas for a movie in our last film tag.
I know.
Yeah, we gave them 4 recommendations for stuff they could make. So just pick any of those. Upcoming on the schedule, we'll, again, be reviewing some of those bigger movies. Maybe No Time to Die, if it ever comes out. Holiday episodes, some spooky time episodes. Hopefully, you know, we'll get all the ones in. If you have any... the audience have any ideas or thoughts about what you would want to hear in the next rest of the year kind of episodes, just let us know. You can email us at secondhandfilmcritic@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. So just let us know because we would love to hear your thoughts.
If there's a movie that you desperately want to hear our amazing critique and opinions on, let us know and we'll see if we can fit it into our schedule maybe.
Next week we will be reviewing the first of those 3 Marvel movies, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Is it and the Ten Rings? That's the title.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Ten Rings, you know. Yeah, that's what we will be reviewing next week.
I'm excited for it. I'm thinking that it's going to be a fun one. It looks, all the promo looks like really fun and engaging. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for a good time.
I'm a fan of rings, and this one has 10 of them. So, you know, what can go? It's right up my alley. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And we're
your
secondhand
film
critics.